From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Every month we check in with the NAACP and the National Urban League to find out what issues they're working on in the Black community and beyond. We're joined by Bruce Gordon, President and CEO of the NAACP. Mark Morial, President of the Urban League, is on vacation. He'll be back with us next month. So sitting in today is President of the National Rainbow Coalition, the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Bruce Gordon, let me start with you, and that's the question and idea that many people took a look at the president finally speaking at your convention. This was the first time since he took office. Talk to me about what you heard and what you think now.
Ed, I think it was important for the president to attend our convention to demonstrate that he's our president, too. It's important for all of us to understand that the NAACP and our positions are not ones that are necessarily in sync with the current administration. However, I think that the president laid out a few points that resonated with the audience. For one, he acknowledged that he would sign off on the Voting Rights Act without amendment and would enforce it. That's something we want to hear and want to see happen. And, of course, signing is one thing, enforcing is another, so that is yet to be seen. He talked about the importance of home ownership and small business ownership. We're totally aligned with that. He talked, however, about the importance of education, and that has always been a high priority of the NAACP. But our approach is a little different. No Child Left Behind is something that we have not fully endorsed. And whether we endorse it or not, it's got to be funded, and it's not been funded at the full level. He mentioned charter schools, and that was something that the audience did not respond well to. He talked about his commitment to faith-based initiatives, and certainly we have a very strong faith-based segment in the NAACP, but that program has not really touched our community in the ways that we think it could or should. Bottom line is, I think that the president's presence was very appropriate. I think that his message was on point in certain cases and off point in others, but that's okay. What's important is that the audience was tuned in. They paid attention to every single word that he uttered. And that week, our theme was voting our values and valuing our votes. And I think that the audience voted that week. They gave him positive responses to those things he said that they resonated with, and they did not give him endorsement of those things that were a disconnect.
All due respect to your tenure there, Bruce Gordon, and you have worked very hard and tirelessly to get the president there, and many kudos to you for doing so. But there are those who suggest that the president needed to do this not because a sense of gratitude to you and your efforts, but the idea that this is, of course, leading into an election year. Some were dismayed by the fact that he is now lame duck and can do very little for the, quote, African-American community. What do you say to critics there?
Well, my sense is that the organization or the president will be criticized if he didn't attend and criticized if he did. So I think that he needed to be there. I don't think that he needed to be there because of me. I think he needed to be there to speak to the oldest and largest civil rights organization in the country that represents the best interests of African Americans. He may be a second-term president, but he's going to be around for two more years. He's going to set policy. He's going to guide his administration. He's going to affect what happens. And to stay very specific on this issue, we have a Voting Rights Act that's been reauthorized and restored and signed off on, and that's a major step. But as Reverend Jackson knows, we have paid as much attention to enforcement of that law as we have to the provisions of the law itself. This president, over the next 2 years, will guide the Department of Justice. His policies, his focus on states' rights issues will determine whether this new law is, in fact, carried out the way that it was designed. So we should not take lightly the power of this president. We should not get caught up in the politics of whether he should have been there in an election year or not.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is he's the president, and this is our country, and we need to make sure that he is paying attention to us and our concerns and our issues.
Reverend Jackson, before I get directly into some of the pushes that you've been leading over the last month or so, talk to me about what you just heard from Bruce Gordon.
Well, I think it was important that President Bush come to the NAACP. He talked at us. He didn't talk with us. In the meeting with President Kennedy, saying, Johnson was always a meeting with a broad cross-section of civil rights leaders so as to get the best input from them. and work on what we saw as weaknesses that became an expression to all of us. People like Attorney Bob Brandwein, Lawyers Committee on Civil Rights, and Ted Shaw, Legal Defense Fund, Bruce Gordon, Al Sharpton, Mark Morial, the head of LULAC, and MALDEF. All these groups are affected very directly by the Voting Rights Act. We'd have served well to have met with the group with Attorney General Gonzalez. That meeting has never taken place before or after. And so it raises questions about the commitment to enforce it without input in it, talking with us, not talking at us, as it were. Matter of fact, just last week, the New York Times chided the Department of Justice in Alabama about taking the power of the voting system from the Democratic Secretary of State, given to the Republican governor of that state. That seems to be a pattern. And so whether in the case of Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, Florida, and now Ohio with these voter suppression schemes, I see rhetoric on the one hand, but there's been no will to enforce the Voting Rights Act. And, of course, stagnant courts with judges who may interpret it against our interests. And some feel very anxious about the speech as well as the state of the Voting Rights Act.
Reverend Jackson, we heard from British Petroleum today that, in fact, they're going to have to close one of their largest pipelines due to corrosion and a possible leak. I know that this will, in turn, possibly raise gas prices. This has been something that you've taken on in the last month, calling for a boycott of BP, as well as talking about the windfall profits that oil companies have seen across the board.
What is amazing is that the British Petroleum was cited for stacking the cards, cornering the market on propane gas, artificially hiking up the price of propane gas. Then we knew about the Alaskan oil spillage because the government cited them like 2 weeks ago. That's the environmental hazard. Then you see that the lack of enforcement of safety and health laws, 17 workers alone killed at the plant in Texas City, Texas. Then, of course, the patterns of race discrimination. They have 800 distributors, zero African-American, one black applied for one in Washington. He had the best bid. They gave his bid to the competitor who underbid him and then couldn't afford to fulfill the deal, and they had to bail him out financially. So we see patterns here of corruption, patterns of environmental violations, and yet in spite of these huge profits and violations, they're getting the tax cut. So, yes, we're boycotting British Petroleum because the grapes are hanging low and the complaints are just numerous. The last year, the administration took a $100 billion profit and got tax cuts. And so Exxon, Mobil, all of them are quite guilty. But we're fighting BP at this point because we've gotten so many complaints about them.
Bruce Gordon, we saw Donald Rumsfeld, his feet being held to the fire last week on Capitol Hill. You already mentioned No Child Left Behind. The Department of Education has extended the time it's giving to fulfill some of the edicts from that. We're taking a look, as you already mentioned, of the extension of the Voting Rights Act. So obviously this election, very important. Talk to me about the momentum coming out of your convention last month and what you plan to do.
I think we had tremendous momentum because, as Reverend Jackson knows, when we were on the Hill the day that the Senate Judiciary Committee was deliberating on the Voting Rights Act, we were there with 2,000-plus of our NAACP members who were in town for the convention. And it made an impact. Our presence, Reverend Jackson's and mine, sitting in the Judiciary Committee hearing, made an impact. And I think that what happened at our convention was that we were once again reinforced by the fact that activism, participation, marching, presence, energy really can influence the outcome of any political event. So we were there dealing with valuing our votes and voting our values. We left that convention with a renewed commitment to get people registered. We've put a program in place called Arrive with Five, which says that we've got an accountability to one register, but to take five other people to register with us, and then on November 7th, to vote, and when we go to the polling place, to go with five other people. The energy is there. The program is there. This, I believe, will be one of the most pivotal elections in the history of our country, certainly of our community. And all of us across the civil rights community have got to be engaged in voter registration, voter participation, voter protection, the behaviors in states like Reverend Jackson has mentioned, we've got to make sure that our votes are cast and our votes are counted, and the NAACP is programmatically addressing that across this country.
Reverend Jackson, with a minute to go, you always play an important role in elections. Talk to me about what your role will be this go-round.
Well, it kind of starts with what's happening in Connecticut right now. Because it's one thing to register, another thing for our votes to count, another thing for the content. In this case, Joe Liebman has unequivocally embraced the Iraq war. We've lost money, we've lost lives, we've lost honor. We chose corrupt Iraqi exiles over UN observers, and now we're in a mess with no end in sight. $250 million a day for that war, and no urban policy plan except first-class jails and second-class schools. And so you're going to see a fight back in Iraq, in Connecticut. People like Maxine Waters and Danny Glover and Al Sharpton, myself and others have been there campaigning for Ned Lamont. We think he's going to win. It's going to send a message to the entire Democratic Party that one Republican Party is enough, that we, in fact, must vote but also have real live options like end the war and reinvest in America.
All right. Reverend Jesse Jackson of the National Rainbow Coalition and Bruce Gordon, president and CEO of the NAACP. Gentlemen, as always, good to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.